Welcome to CUTV News Radio, where our hosts Doug Llewellyn and Jim Masters talk to today's top thinkers from all around the world to bring you information, inspiration, and thought-provoking ideas that you can put to use in your personal or professional life right now. Covering a broad range of topics, we dig deep to discover what makes today's top thinkers tick. CUTV News Radio, it's the show where ideas matter. And now, here's today's host, Doug Llewellyn.
Well, hi, everybody. Welcome back again. Nice to have you with us here on CUTV News Radio. I'm Doug Llewellyn, and I'm excited because one of our favorite guests is back with us again and is going to be with us doing a scheduled series of broadcasts for a number of weeks at this time on Mondays. And I think you're going to find it really amazing to hear her. If you haven't heard Dr. Martha Latz yet on our broadcast, because she has been with us before in the past, you're in for a real treat. And make note that she's going to be with us Mondays at this time for a number of weeks to come. In any event, she is a top-notch licensed marriage and family therapist. She is a senior psychotherapist and a life and relationship coach. And she has her own practice in Boca Raton, Florida. Her practice is called a Unique Therapy Center. It's a great name for a therapy center. And she deals with couples. She deals with families, individuals, obviously. Lots of different perspectives of her practice. And it's amazing to hear the various services that her practice offers because they're really complete. She deals, as I said, with individuals, couples, and families. She does life transition coaching. She does corporate therapy. She does what is known as rapid resolution therapy. Those are just some of the things that she deals with. So it's pretty amazing and a pretty interesting, really always interesting to hear Dr. Latz talk to us about what she does. She has a great website, too. If you're interested, go to that website. It is auniquetherapy.com, auniquetherapy.com. It's also possible you have heard her on a radio because she has her own radio show. Not this one that we're doing, she has her own. And we'll get more information on that and how you can find out about that radio show and when it's on. Anyway, one of the things she deals with really a lot these days is people who are suffering from stress and various forms of stress, which eventually actually can become trauma for a lot of people. And we're talking about, you know, culture, finances, relationships, all kinds of things that compound. That's another thing. Compound stress, which she points out, is very serious. Her hope is that people realize there is always an answer to whatever you're confronting, whether it's personally or professionally. She can help. She has helped lots and lots of people. Together, as she points out, we will absolutely find an agreeable solution and resolution to help you. She, by the way, utilizes a very holistic approach to her practice, specifically treating the whole person, not just the physical or emotional symptoms that one might be suffering when they come to talk to her. She creates individualized treatment plans, addressing the individual's mind, their body, their spirit, and their psychosocial approach, big word, which effectively decreases anxiety and depression in her patients. And as she points out, if we practice self-love daily, we can face any trying situation. Those are just some of the things that I wanted to point out about Dr. Latz. You're going to hear much more as we open this series of broadcasts with her and talk to her about her practice and about the folks who come to see her and how she is able to help them. So, without any further ado, let's bring her on with us now. She is at her office in Boca Raton, Florida, and it's very nice to have you back. Dr. Latz, welcome. Dr. Martha, how are you today?
I am well, Doug, and thank you for inviting me back. I so look forward to our time together and our subsequent times together.
Well, let's just talk a little bit. You know, I point out your practice is called a Unique Therapy Center. What is it that makes your practice unique or different? Why did you name it that?
Well, the reason I named it a Unique Therapy Center, and that's like my website is auniquetherapycenter.com, is that everybody is unique. You're not the same as I am. I'm not the same as you are. And your neighbor down the street is very different. And all of our life experience, while maybe collective, meaning we're all in the human experience, each of us are very different in how we respond to different and various situations. We also have our own life story and our life journey that for a lot of times, you know, we need to recognize that because that's what goes into making our emotional health and well-being and our outlook on life and whatever practices we practice, whether it's yoga, whether it's meditation, whether it's, we go to a collective church group of whatever it is. All of us, while we're all united as being human, we are all very, very different.
That's very true. And, you know, I'm glad you picked up on something and pointed out that your website really is a uniquetherapycenter.com, correct?
That's correct.
Yeah. Because I left the word center out when I mentioned it.
Well, you might get some really interesting sites.
Yeah. Goodness knows, I don't want to do that to you. We can't have. Primarily, describe to her, I know you work with individuals and couples and family, you know, the whole ball of wax, but primarily who are the kind of folks that you see? Are they women? Do you work with men?
I really see a division. It's not quite divided, 50-50 between female and male, but I do see, I would say 30% of my practice, I do see men. The vast majority are women. Women usually seek out therapy much sooner, much quicker than men do, even if it's a long period of time before they do it. But men are starting to come. In fact, I have a young man who's in his 20s who have started to come to me about, you know, the different things about how he is relating to the world and how it's very, very different. He's also had to start disengaging in being that under the parental guidance. You know, he is moving into mm-hmm. adulthood. He is wanting mm-hmm. to express himself on his own and not feeling, you know, how does he do that? So he's about the youngest I have right now, and it goes all the way up to whoever wants to come. I mean, there's no really age distinction. But what I'm finding that are the two main topics that people are talking about, or I should say three, is I can't communicate. My parents aren't listening to me. I just want to tell them that it's time for me to stand on my own. I can't communicate with my spouse. I am so anxious. I'm stressed to the max. So those are kind of like the three issues that are more and more prevalent. And believe it or not, all three of those issues are intertwined.
You know, quick question. Do you find a big difference between men and women when they come in for therapy and for help?
Yes, I do. Men are more reluctant, depending upon the culture and depending upon their age. They're more reluctant to really start talking about their emotion, and then they get really surprised when emotion comes up for them. But and so part of what I do for and women tend to they'll tend to just go right on into their emotion. They'll tend to go right on into the issue. Men won't mm-hmm. do that as readily. I think part of that is cultural. I think that's part of what the media has said. Men, you don't look at that. And then when you get close with men, a lot of the times they will pull back. When you get close to the issue that they're thinking about but they're not talking about, but it's sitting there in the room and, you know, it's like, how do you find a door to open it? Sometimes they'll withdraw and then they'll come back. Sometimes women will withdraw and then come back, only because they know that that's the issue that they need to face. They have talked about it, but they'll find a reason that, you know, well, the holidays are coming, or I have a trip planned, and I really don't want to get into that. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, it does. I'm not surprised to hear that. Not at all. I also am intrigued by the fact that you do really two different kinds of treatment. You do therapeutic assistance, and you do life coaching as well. And there's a difference there, isn't it? How do you describe the difference between therapeutic assistance and life coaching?
Life coaching. I'm sorry to overtalk you, Doug. Life coaching is really for a specific situation or issue. I just got a new job. I'm going to be moving. The kids have got to change schools. I've got to let my parents know they're aging. I have to let them know that I'm going to have to relocate in a different part of the United States, or maybe I might be going overseas. How do I do that? When the stress that comes along with that, and that's a specific issue. Therapy oftentimes is a deeper issue that comes about. I don't know why I'm so reluctant. I've got this wonderful opportunity, and I don't want to take it, Dr. Latz. Something is blocking me. I am fearful. I'm going to fail. I know I'm going to fail. And that usually tells me that there is something much deeper in related to the person's success or failure, or how they understand it, or how they have experienced it in the past. And it might have been something as simple as they stood up in class and they learned how to spell Mississippi, and they could do it, and they outdid everybody in their class. And when their parent asked them to spell it, they misspelled it and they were ridiculed.
Yeah.
So when they stand out, when they stood out, it was really great and it felt great. But when the people that needed to really, you know, be there and it was misspelled, it was like, oh, you didn't learn it, you know, that sort of thing. And so that may be the kernel that started this self-belief that I can't accomplish anything. And if I do, I'm going to fail at it. Does that explain that?
That sounds... sounds like a real lack of self-confidence in themselves. Is that part
yes.
of it?
Yes, that's
yeah.
part of it. That's part of it.
Yeah.
And but they don't know why. You know, they always seem to, they always have the ideas and they're always the go-to person, but then when they get their moment to shine, it's like, I don't know if I want to take it. Because I
you know, you've been doing this a long time. I don't mean change the subject. You've been doing this a long time. I have 27 years here at least. I'm just wondering, are the issues and the problems people are dealing with these days a lot different than they were when you started doing this more than 20 years ago?
Yes, they are different and they are the same. You know, like I said, we all have fear of success sometimes. We all have, you know, self-esteem issues. That's been around since I've been, you know, doing practice. But the way they manifest is very, very different, like how people connect with social media. You know, that's where people, I'm in, somebody's recognizing me, I'm there, you know, all the postings and the fear of missing out. So we have to be on all the social platforms, and we have to look at what they're saying, what they're posting, and then we have some sort of you know, comparison or envy that goes on. And so I think it's out there much more. It comes to the surface much more, but the vehicle for which it comes is different. Is that clear?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I also want to ask you if you think social media has been good or bad for most people that you deal with.
I think social media has its is excellent. In some fashions, but
I didn't think you were going to say that.
But I think it's how we interact with it, which is a very personal choice. Meaning, you know, we are able to get information quickly, but if we have to sit at the dinner table and we're not talking with the people present to us because we're on our phones or we're on our social media. Or when, you know, you're invited to go someplace and the first thing you're doing while you're there is you're posting where you are on social media. I think that is where it's detrimental.
Well,
does that...
let's talk about some of the, I understand totally. Let's talk about some issues. I know one of the things you had mentioned to me that really you deal with often is that people seem to be suffering from a lot of stress. That's one of the things that brings them to your door. And stress can get so bad it becomes trauma after a while. Why do you suppose folks can't handle stress?
I think we're in trauma fatigue. I think there's so much trauma that we have been facing that it's like okay, what is it going to be today? You know, it's the trauma with a big T or trauma with a little T. And I think that when we're stressed, the first thing I do is when I ask the person, I say, oh, okay, are you up for a little experiment with me, Doug?
Sure,
do something
absolutely.
With me? Okay.
Okay.
I want you to think about an issue that you have in your life, and we don't have to say it's a heavy issue or it's a soft issue, but a small issue. It's just an issue that you kind of stress over. Okay. You know, it gives you that momentary, you know, butterflies in your stomach or whatever. I want you to think about that. And then when you're thinking about that, you don't have to tell me what it is unless you want to.
No, I'm trying to think of one.
Oh, okay. You know, and so when, you know, it could be as simple as going to pick up your new car.
Okay.
And engaging in all of the new technologies and whatever. I don't know. It doesn't matter. But
right.
You have a spot in your body where you feel that moment. Identify where that is in your body.
Wow.
Yeah.
And then what
I'll say to you is, have you felt that feeling before? And you'll say, yes, or yeah, sure, you did, you have. Okay. Can you remember the first time you felt that feeling? And usually,
Go ahead. I'm a bad
usually
one for
you
to do this
with. Usually what
it
does is it goes back to an event. Oh, the first time I sat behind the wheel of a car. And
yeah.
I had to learn, because I learned on a clutch, or, you know, that sort of thing, and having to keep all of that and keep everything straight. And you felt that wherever you felt that in the body.
Okay.
All right. So what that is it's a small trauma that has, you know, and you got over it and you continually had your car, but that just that nanosecond that you're thinking about getting a new car or that you're picking up your new car, it comes back.
Okay.
That's where, and then what it does is it compounds. If you don't deal with it and recognize it, that eventually, you know, you get this newfangled car, and now you've got all the backup cameras and the lane departures, and, you know, you could nod off, and it breaks you up, and, you know, you've got someone talking to you, directing you, you know, and you can have it in an Australian accent, and it's like, oh, wow, all I want is just to drive my car.
Right. Exactly.
Okay. All right.
Yes.
So when we have trauma, and when we have trauma in our life, and we, you know, some of us we can deal with the small T traumas, but if they continue to add up, and then we get back to the fact that the reason I don't like to brush my daughter's hair is, oh my gosh, that was something that happened when you encountered your first abuse as a child.
Okay.
I don't know why all I don't right. want to be with, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So so that's a little bit of an experiment I usually do with people when they come in. It's like, gee, where are you feeling it in your body? You're talking about it. Where is it going on? And that connects that our mind and our body work. So if our mind won't let it come up and we deal with it, our body will certainly feel it. Oh, gee, I've got these headaches. I'm nauseous. I just you know, I ache. My lower back is bothering me.
That's, you know, I was just going to ask you, where do people feel this? Because I'm not a good one to ask that about. I don't have that problem. I can't place, you know, a specific spot in their body. But that's
we all have it. You know, we all have it. It's either to greater or lesser degrees. You know, when I asked you to do that, it's just a momentary thing, and you may very well not have it because you may be very self-aware, which you are, and you know, so it's like you look at it and say, oh, that's interesting. Okay, I've been there before. I can deal with it, and I can move on. A lot of people have not been self-aware. And saying that they had experience before and they've moved on and they were successful. You know, like Gilda Radner always said, you know, it's always something. And then I always put an asterisk. And yes, and we always survive, and we usually survive wonderfully when we're on the other side of the survival.
Exactly.
The always something.
Exactly. Yeah.
What?
Well, those are yes, ma'am. Those are examples of stress and how it gets. But what about when it compounds to the point that it becomes trauma? How do you define trauma, by the way?
Trauma is something that threatens us, life-threatening trauma. A trauma that the big T trauma, life-threatening trauma. The trauma that comes into our life that we're waiting for Dorian to come in, and we didn't get the big the big hit, but it was traumatic building up to and waiting for it and moving. And then what happens? What do you think about? What do you think about the last time hurricane was bearing down on Florida, just to use Florida, and it was Irma, and it had the entire state in its cone coming up from the Keys. And then you remember, you know, so, you know, it's compounded trauma. So if you're a survivor, say, of child abuse, and you are the survivor, whether it was physical, sexual, mental, emotional dysfunction, or all of the combined, but you successfully got to adulthood, and then you find yourself parenting, and you're parenting out of your trauma. You want to connect with your child. You want to connect with, you know, the family, the normal 101 family connections when you have a child, and, you know, grandparents and everybody around, and the celebrations and 101 parenting, you know, the different things about taking care of your infant and your baby. And you're finding yourself pushing away. Or if you're the man, you're pushing away from it. You're staying long hours at work. You're not coming home. You're providing for your family, but you're not interacting with your family. That usually tells me that there's been some sort of traumatic event in growing up, which was life-threatening, or perceived as life-threatening for the child. Remember, you were a child at the time. And so...
Right.
And then you just add on all the natural traumas, like we've had hurricanes, we've had flooding, we've had fires, we've had tornadoes, just the natural disasters that are here, or the personal disasters that you've lost your home, or your home was damaged, or you lost your job because of, excuse me, you know, that just continues to pile on and compound. And then it becomes overwhelming. And then we do behaviors that are not so good. Like we have depression. We go into substance disorders. You know, we substitute trying to make ourselves feel good. So it's,
I was going to ask you, those are the signs of trauma. How's the most effective way of coping with trauma? And you really deal with this with people. How do you get them to cope with it?
Well, you know, what's the normal thing you say to a person? I want to know about it. I don't want to tell them that they can't talk about it. I don't want to say to them, like, well, you survived. You should just be happy, you know. That's really great, but why is it still affecting me? Well, I can't really talk about it. Well, yes, you can, because it's part of your story. It's part of your life. Tell me about it. Tell me about what happened. And what I'll do is I'll help, you know, briefly. I mean, I'll just give a brief example. I'll just say to them, okay, can you remember? Yes, I can. Okay, I want you to look around. You're in a safe environment, okay? And then they'll start recounting. But during the course of while they're recounting, I'll stop them every once in a while, pause it. I love to make that little pause button sign. One of the things that I have that I do in therapy is, let's pause it here. Now look around. Okay, you're not where this occurred. You know, you're here in my office. The sun is shining. The jacaranda tree is blooming outside. Can you see? Oh, yes. Okay. Now can you continue to tell? And then they'll continue to talk about it. And then, you know, when we talk about it, then I'll say, do you realize, you know, it had happened, but it's not happening now. And so it's get them to the point that it is part of their life, but it is not occurring at this particular moment. A lot of times when people are unable to recognize it and say that and really embrace that they really had survived, they are told not to talk about it, or they're told to recount it, and they're recounting it over and over again in the present tense, like it's happening now, like it's just occurring, and it really isn't. So that's kind of how, you know, I kind of work with that. You know, it's kind of a lot to get in and get your head around, you know, right now. But
no kidding. It is. You know, I want to point out, I mentioned this before. I mean, you explain things so well. You do a radio show where you talk about this all the time. We may have listeners who want to hear your show. Where does your show air? How do we find it?
The show is on BBM Global Network and TuneIn Radio. It's every Thursday at 1 o'clock Eastern time. So wherever you're listening from, just, you know, push it out for your time zone. Like Central is 12 and Mountain is 11, and I think Pacific is at 10. So it's like in that sort of area, just like we're broadcasting now. And if you miss it, it's always up on my website, the current show that I just had and the title of it, or you can pick it up on iHeartRadio. It's on Squeaker. It's on Apple Podcast. It's all over, Doug. It's all over. But I guess you could call the home platform is BBM Global. And like last week, I had a woman, marvelous woman, on, and we were talking about the very subject of PTSD trauma, but coming out of us being a survivor of child abuse. And her name is her name is Dawn Dharma, and she has written a book and has a program that she has put together, a speaker and different things, and it's called Parenting with PTSD: How to Break the Cycle of Generational Abuse and Dysfunction.
Well, that's interesting. Very good.
Yeah. So I have guests, the experts that have been in their field, talking about the different things, and then I'll do shows and informative shows without guests where I'll talk on a topic, and you can go through the list.
That's what we're doing here today. We're informally talking with you about, you know, maybe we ought to open the lines up here and have guests up time. We'll talk about that. Anyway, Dr. Martha, we've run out of time for today. The half hour has just flown by. Our guest has been Dr. Martha Latz. She's in Boca Raton, Florida, and her website is auniquetherapycenter.com. Dr. Martha, you'll be back again next week, same time, on Monday, right?
Yes, I will.
Okay, we look forward to it, and we'll see you then. Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you,
it's been great having you here.
You've been listening to CUTV News Radio. If you want to learn more about our programming or perhaps be considered for a future show, visit us on the web at www.cutvnews.com. And if you enjoyed listening to today's show, subscribe to our podcast on iTunes or Stitcher, and be sure to write a review. Thanks for listening, and from all of us at CUTV News Radio, we hope you have a productive and inspired day.
Have a great day, everybody. I'm Doug Llewellyn. See you next time. Till then, take care of yourself. Bye for now.